Hello, you're very welcome along to News Talks Between the Lines. This is the program where we take a closer look at some of the main stories and issues of interest in the country. I'm Richard Chambers, sitting in for Andrea Gilligan this week. You can get in contact at any stage by emailing betweenthelines@newstalk.com, or I'm on Twitter at News Chambers. Well, coming up today, we're going to be discussing the broad issue of transport. And in a week where the long-awaited Metrolink plan was finally unveiled, to some consternation, we're running the rule over with a whole lot. College Green Plaza, Lewis Cross City, urban sprawl and the bike lanes. Well, joining us on our panel this morning is Tom Phillips, Managing Director of Tom Phillips and Associates and Professor of Town Planning at UCD Dublin, Graham McQueen, Head of Public Affairs at Dublin Chamber of Commerce, Green Party Councillor Ciarán Cuff, who is also the Chair of Dublin City Council's Transport Committee, and Independent Councillor Manix Flynn. You're all very welcome for joining us on the show this morning. I want to start, of course, with what I suppose you could say is the elephant in the room, and that is Metrolink, and there has been some consternation about it. I want to start with you, Graham, on this issue. In terms of what this project means to Dublin as a city, and there's already been some objections to this in terms of how it's going to impact on certain areas of our city, is it all worth it in the end?
I think it is. I think we've needed this project for a long time. We've been talking about it for far too long. There's been various incarnations of the plan. So it's great to see it's back on the table. It's great to see a revised plan come out this week. However, I think spades in the ground is what we all want to see. This is going to take a long time to build. 2027 is the completion date that they're talking about at the moment. That's a long time away. That's 10 years of everyone's life still to go before this project is delivered. But when you look at the growth that's come in Dublin's way, this is a project that could really provide a backbone to the public transport system in Dublin. It's one that we need. Dubliners have waited far too long for it. I think that the key now is to get through this consultation process, take everyone's views on board, refine the plan, but let's get cracking on it.
Do you have any concerns that this is probably going to be held up? As you say, this isn't actually going to get underway in terms of construction until at least 2021. And, you know, it's probably going to be at least 10 years down the line before we see any of these stops open. With all of the talk about what's happening with Na Fianna and Glasnevin, and there's going to be construction around schools and around already busy roads, I'm not so certain that this isn't going to, you know, be held up for a substantial amount of time as well.
I think there were always going to be problems. There's always going to be little issues with the plan. That's why we're having the public consultation process now, and it's a chance for everyone to have their say. The plan will be refined. The plan can get to where we need it to be. We can come up with a plan that everyone's going to be happy with. We all have to have our say in this next sort of 6-week period during the public consultation. But ultimately, this is for the greater good of Dublin. It's something that you find in every other major city in the world. You go to Copenhagen, you go to Amsterdam, these types of cities that are great to live in. You step off a plane, you jump onto a train, bam, you're in the city centre in 20 minutes. That's what we need for Dublin.
Ciarán Cuff, Dublin City Council Transport Committee Chair. This is something that everybody said that we've needed for so long. But do you think that with the objections that are there, and I mean, does it amount to NIMBYism in the way?
Oh, look, there'll always be NIMBYism, but I think it is a really positive project for Dublin. I think when the Dublin Port Tunnel was announced going back 10, 15 years ago, there was a lot of concerns. There was real fears about what the impact would be during the construction process and beyond. And we're seeing similar concerns today. We see Na Fianna in Glasnevin really concerned because there'll be a metro station underneath them. But if that is handled correctly, and I think it will be, there will be shafts drilled down. There will be some disruption, but I've no doubt that we could end up with a world-class GAA facility with a metro station right beside it. So there's strong positives. I was in Hamburg in the autumn and they've just extended their metro. Fantastic, modern, slick stations. It's really opened up new areas, new quarters for development around the Hafen City area. So it's a real positive. I do, however, have a couple of concerns about Metrolink. For many years, we had Metro North and the Dart Underground. We had a north-south proposal and an east-west proposal. It looks as though the Dart Underground is gone. And I think it's really important that the needs of public transport users in West Dublin are looked at really carefully.
Have they been left out of this again? Because they have been left out by other public transport projects as well. I mean, there doesn't seem to be a great balance in how we actually provide for different people. You have people on the north side of Dublin who say that the Lewis has neglected them throughout this whole time. Are we making the same mistake again in a way?
Look, I think there'll always be winners and losers in any construction project. It's great that the Lewis is out there going as far as Broombridge. There's a huge amount of people in Finglas who want to see the Lewis extended there. I'd like to see that happen. The government at the moment is more or less saying they're going to put half the transport money into roads and half into public transport. I'd like to see 2/3 go into sustainable transport solutions. But look, it's Shane Ross's call and Leo Varadkar's call. I think what Dublin desperately needs is real improvements in public transport for everybody, whether they live north, south, east or west. Metrolink is a step in the right direction. We also have the Bus Connects project to reorganise the bus system in Dublin. I think that will be a big positive as well. It'll also be controversial.
Yeah, but from an environmental standpoint, I mean, you are taking away, you know, one of the great playing facilities for hundreds, if not thousands of kids in North Dublin, in Nafina, for a number of years. You're also going to have construction around schoolyards and, you know, an increase in heavy machinery going through the area as well, in what is a very, very dense residential area. I mean, do you have any concerns on that point?
Of course I have concerns. Now, it's not clear that the facility will be taken away during the construction period. So I think it's really important that TII, Transport Infrastructure Ireland, clarify exactly what the plans are around Nafina in Glasnevin, because there's a lot of worried people out there. But ultimately, the goal in this is to give people the kind of public transport system that they see when they go abroad to other cities. We've been waiting an awful long time in Dublin. I think it does make sense. I think ultimately it'll lower our carbon emissions. It'll provide greater access to jobs, to businesses in the city. It'll reduce air emissions. So I think it's a positive.
Manox Lynn, what's your take on the situation with regard to Metrolink?
Well, again, it's part of the whole tranche of public transport initiatives, and they're very welcome. But I'd say it's against the backdrop of what's happening on the streets at the moment in relation to Lewis Cross City, particularly at College Green, where I believe they got it catastrophically wrong. We're in the middle of an oral hearing on board Panola. And I think it's great to say, you know, that like this is going to be great for jobs and, you know, it's going to be great for the economy. But the facts are that the one that's there at the moment, which is the College Green Plaza and the Lewis Cross City, are damaging jobs and are damaging the economy and are certainly damaging the footfalls within the city. There's going to be catastrophic consequences and constitutional consequences for residents in terms of Metro North. I mean, by and large, it'll be going under the ground, and that's, you know, that's to be welcomed. Certainly the transport aspects is to be welcomed. But you're talking here about the acquisition of people's homes. You're talking about the acquisitions of
And there's
apartments.
Going to be hundreds
you're
of these,
Yes, you're talking about the acquisitions of what's known as public amenities. And again, there's laws in relation to them. And then what do you get at the end of the day? You know, can you see the benefits or the consequences? Which is outweighing which? I mean, it's definitely coming down the road. What always interests me is, you know, our two speakers there talking about what happens elsewhere. Elsewhere things work. Elsewhere things are planned. Elsewhere things are sorted out. That doesn't happen in Ireland, really, and it certainly didn't happen in relation to the Lewis Cross City in terms of how they're going to manage traffic. It's willy-nilly this way and that way, or we're going to move this. In terms of the construction of the Lewis Cross City, in my opinion, it was absolutely appalling the manner in which...
I mean, everybody in this room will attest to the point.
But hang on a second.
Logjam.
No, not only logjam, but the manner in which they conducted this in darkness, you know, with people like tripping down footpaths, and the state of the city at the moment in terms of the dangers you have to face as a cyclist, the dangers you face as a pedestrian walking in broken footpaths. So, well, it's all well and good, and like, you know, I want it to work. There's a lot of kind of magic thinking going on here, and it's all grand. And Graham has presented this yesterday, but again, I'd say against the backdrop of actually what the reality is in Unbar Panola, and if you go down to Unbar Panola and listen to the oral hearing, you know, it's mind-boggling the mistakes that have been made.
Tom Phillips, you've been down there at the oral hearing there as for the pedestrian plaza at College Green. Safe to say you have some strong views on the matter. I mean, just at the core of this whole issue, with regards to Metrolink and with regards to College Green and with regards to Lewis Cross City, we don't seem to do planning in this country particularly well when it comes to public transport, do we?
Well, I suppose my view would be that it's like death by a thousand cuts, that we're doing plans in isolation of other plans. And what our clients acting for the various large department stores, they're looking for a number of years for a holistic transport plan for the city that looks at the wider area, as opposed to this drip feed. Because the day the oral hearing started, they stopped taxis going down part of in front of Trinity College. Then in the middle of nine days into an oral hearing, they announce a metro link. And so we're constantly getting these drip feed. And a few years ago, the razzmatazz was all about the other form of metro. So we need to kind of stop, come up with these sequential plans and do one holistic plan, one proper plan at the one time.
With regards then to, you know, the situation at the pedestrian plaza for College Green, I mean, it is something, as you say, that retailers have been up in arms about in the area. But a lot of those retailers are ones which do have car parks. If you talk to some of the ones which depend more on footfall, they're all for this idea, aren't they?
They're not all for it, no. And I think a lot of the situations, a lot of people haven't actually looked at it, because it's one of these plans that's very good in theory, but when we actually look at the reality of it and what's going to do to the city, you can see a lot of fatal flaws in it. And I've been looking at it for 9 days at a hearing, and you can see where it's not going to work. And the department stores don't rely exclusively on car park people, but they do. But there are plenty of people from, say, from South Meath or whatever, who might come into the city, actually don't go there anymore, or other people just go to Dundrum because they've given up. I think it's a bit, I was actually thinking that the plan looks like a Pac-Man, the old Pac-Man. Every time you kind of go down a street, it's blocked off, you go somewhere else, and eventually you're just gobbled up. So people just give up driving the city. And you do need cars. It's fine saying that it should be all pedestrianised or all cyclists, but we do need cars. For certain forms of people need cars to get in. And shops, largely the large department stores, who've got something like 2,600 car spaces, who actually serve a real function for the city. Mm. They need access, and they can't just have a situation that it's so circuitous to get to the car park that you just give up and the city's abandoned for retail. And retail is supported in the Dublin City Development Plan as being hugely important to the life of the city.
Where does the traffic go?
Man explain.
Yeah, the other thing about it is that, like, while they're removing traffic from College Green, where does it go? It gets shoved up Parliament, it gets shoved onto the quays, and like the consequences there are, you've got massive traffic jams. I mean, on the one hand, you're gentrifying and, you know, grandiose in College Green, and then you're destroying Parliament Street right beside, you know, the City Hall with buses. It's outrageous what's happening. And the consequences of it are is that when you see this plaza, you know, besides the economic, you know what I mean, devastation it's going to cause huge, you know, unsustainable traffic jams all along the quays. So where do the traffic go when it comes across, say, for instance, Cable Street, and it can't come into Parliament Street? It takes a right-hand turn and goes down the quays and tries to find its way south. This is like pouring water. It's got to go somewhere. Mm. In areas where it's blocked, it's going to impact. I just simply can't see, okay, a load of people heading into the plaza for leisure. On the one part of it, you have the Lewis Cross City every 90 seconds moving up and down. Big noisy train. At the far side on Dame Street, then you have U-turning buses. Buses doing a U-turn. You've got a cycleway where you're protected on the plaza, and then you come onto this kind of small strip where you're basically risking your life. In the meantime, you've got the plaza being created at the Central Bank, that one, and lots of people moving about the place. You're talking about madness. Now, again, going back to other jurisdictions where they get it right, we get it wrong. And again, this joined up thinking, this overall plan, I mean, and down there in Borpenola, they're giving us studies instead of plans. So, in what's happening down here, you know, is really about one thing. It's about the Lewis Cross City and traffic not being able to come across.
Okay.
That's it. The plaza itself is just kind of hocus pocus.
Graham McQueen, Dublin Chamber of Commerce. I mean, economic devastation is the word that Manox Flynn said when referring to what this plaza will do. I mean, do you agree with that? Is there a threat to retail in the city centre over this?
I can understand why retailers are concerned, but I think there's a bigger picture here. I think it's not just retailers in the city centre. There's lots of other businesses, lots of services businesses. You're talking hundreds of thousands of people coming into Dublin every day. That's the bigger picture. Dublin Chamber point of view would be, we want to get behind this plaza plan. We think the plaza's potentially great. It potentially could be up there with the best that you see in cities around the world, and that's been our view from the start.
But is it not the case that when you talk about these plazas and squares in other cities, that they've already been pedestrianised long, long before, and it's a lot harder to do these things when you already have all of these different forms of transport already coming through it, when it is the main channelway for Dublin Bus going through the city centre if you're going from north to south or vice versa. Mm. It's very hard to uproot all of that, isn't it?
I think if it's planned correctly, it's kind
it's
of
not the, planned correctly. That's the point.
The recurring theme here this morning is that Dublin is not being planned in the way that it needs to be. And that's not fair on Dubliners. That's not fair on the children of the future. But it's just a quality of life thing. I mean, the plaza in the city centre could potentially be really good for Dublin.
But you don't that's a given. Look at Smithfield. Look at the boardwalk. Look at areas where we did pedestrianise. Since, for instance, like Grafton Street, you have to wait till 1 o'clock to walk up Grafton Street. Otherwise, you're going to get a bang of a
truck. What's the alternative, though? Do you want to keep traffic coming down Grafton Street?
Plan the thing properly out, plan out, you know, have a master plan for the city, entire master plan, rather than actually traffic studies. Do it proper and right. But they didn't do it. Remember, what was always an issue in Dublin City was traffic, well before the Lewis was thought of and well before there was a plaza idea. Now, they had this idea there and they didn't do the traffic. Then they bring in the Lewis Cross City and they didn't do the traffic. Then they bring in the plaza and they didn't do the traffic. And now what they're doing is, Owen Keegan is charged with bringing in traffic bans. You can't move here, you can't move there. So basically what it is that in other jurisdictions, all modes of transport move in. So if you haven't got the residents at your heart, if you haven't got the citizens at your heart, if you haven't got other modes of transport, no one is going to go there. And the other thing about it is, how are you going to manage these spaces? Everybody, even tourists, say, oh, your public spaces are not managed. Smithfield is a ghost town. Nothing happens in Smithfield. So I believe at the end of the day,
Kieran Coffey, you want to interject?
Sorry, Max. I represent.
And you represent. And I represent, we both represent, we're both directors of the city.
Well, I represent the North Inner City, and Smithfield is not a ghost town.
You tried to drive a whole load of buses into Benbrook Street for a bus.
Come on up to the Lighthouse Cinema, or go into the many restaurants that have opened up there. So, look, Smithfield is improving. There's restaurants, there's activities in that plaza.
And
I think we'll have to agree to differ. I think
the
College Green. I think, sorry, if I could, pardon me for speaking while you're interrupting, Mannix, but I think the College Green Plaza, College Green is an amazing space. And it's about time we took the noise, the fumes, the madness out of College Green and gave it back to the people. Mannix keeps saying, where will the traffic go? If you go to a transport conference, you'll hear people talk about traffic evaporation. The same arguments
you
were made. No, I don't. And you know that. And that's
most of your time in conferences.
Mannix, I'm sorry. I represent the North Inner City. I spend most of my time in Dublin representing the people.
Most of the people in the North Inner City put you in your place and you tried to drive a whole load of buses down Benbrook Street. For your own vanity.
Kieran Cuff, please.
I've really no idea what you're talking about there. But look,
you do, because it was the Livy cycle.
Back when Grafton Street was full of cars and buses back in the early 1980s, we had similar kind of discussions. And people like Mannix said, where will the traffic go? Where will the cars go? Where will the buses go? Grafton Street and the pedestrianisation of Henry Street have been a fantastic success. And the traffic evaporates. If you make it easier to walk, if you make it easier to cycle, people will change mode. We've already seen a doubling of the cycling numbers in the city. That's good. And people need to know that 20% of the spend in the city comes from car users, but another 20% comes from pedestrians. And bus users spend 40% of the money. So we've got to cater not just for the car in Dublin City, but also for public transport, for walking and for cycling. And if College Green is about a pedestrian plaza, of course it needs to be managed. But I look forward to the kind of public spaces where children can play, where you've a fountain in the summer months, an ice rink in the winter. I think it's a real possibility.
Tom Phillips, please. On the issue of the Cross City and the Lewis as well there. I mean, can people actually have confidence that this can be done? That the whole point of this is trying to, make Dublin a more livable city. If you look at the situation that's there now, and Lewis Cross City is pretty much at the centre of the pedestrianisation of College Green plan. Somebody sent me a photo there on Friday morning of a Lewis tram overhanging and blocking off an ambulance there on O'Connell Bridge. Can we have faith that this can be executed properly? That it doesn't cause untold amounts of chaos in the short term while it's being constructed, and then that it doesn't block up everything else while it's in operation?
Thanks. Well, my concern about it is that this is being portrayed as a pedestrian versus car argument. It's not. It's about all forms of transport. And it's very simple to say it's pedestrianisation. Everybody thinks pedestrianisation is great in theory. But the reality, and the Dublin City Development Plan talks about pedestrian priority at College Green. It doesn't talk about pedestrian only. It talks about the pedestrianisation of Foster Place, which is a little side street at the side of Bank of Ireland. But it talks about pedestrian priority. And most of the people at the oral hearing would be quite happy with pedestrian priority, but not pedestrian exclusivity. Absolutely. And even one of the key people at the oral hearing is a man who's partially sighted. So he's very concerned about it because it just doesn't work for people who are partially sighted. And he spends his major mode of transport is on foot. And he's worried about it because of the flush paving. The fact, he said, even simply that guide dogs, for example, can't need footpaths because they don't understand when to stop and when to keep going. And if you've got Lewis, it's going to be quieter, etc. It has a lot of people are discommoded, and he's a pedestrian. And the college or the NCB or the National Council for the Blind as well are opposed to it. So it's not a simple thing of car versus pedestrian.
Are they opposed to it, or do they have concerns about it? They're opposed to it. Opposition. They wrote an opposition.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is a valid point. I mean, this is 2018, and we're looking at plans for something which is going to fundamentally change the way Dublin City looks. Yeah. And yet it doesn't seem to fully address the concerns of people.
Some people who don't like it. There's the majority of people do want to see it happen. There are curbs between any vehicular traffic and pedestrian spaces. That's best practice around Europe. There's been consultation with the Centre for Universal Design. So I think the plans are pretty damn good. I've seen what's been done in other cities, whether it be in Rotterdam or whether it be in London or cities like Glasgow. Around Europe, cities are giving space back to the pedestrian. They're taking heavy traffic out of city streets. I think that's worth doing.
Okay.
I think it's really important, particularly as a lot of online of retail spend goes online and into out-of-town shopping centres. It's really important that we present a fantastic city centre that is suitable for people of all ages.
We're just shoving her into the side
streets. To that end, to that end, I think it makes sense to make improvements that will encourage people to spend a bit more time in the city centre rather than see our roads and streets.
All right. Before we move on from the issue of College Green, Graham, I mean, do you think that this was, you know, planned out as best it could be? I mean, you are looking at, obviously, a greater focus on the tram network with Lewis Cross City. You are looking at a greater focus with regards to cycling as well, which I think most of us will agree is a good thing for our city, to take people away from the cars. But is this the very best option that we could have done to try and achieve some of these goals?
I think what this whole process has shone a light on is the lack of good planning for Dublin. I think it's a very piecemeal approach. We see little things going on here and there, but I think there's a lot of uncertainty, certainly in the business community, the members that I represent. They're unsure as to what's going on. So when you see something like College Green being proposed, a plaza there sounds like a great thing. There's a lack of information there. There's a lack of knowledge coming from Dublin City Council about how this is actually going to work. This is happening in the core of the city centre, in the heart of the city. It's potentially great, but it's going to have ramifications out to the M50, if not beyond. This is where people are commuting from every day, thousands of people trying to get in, out, through the city centre on a daily basis. This is a quality of life issue. This is time spent in cars, it's time spent on buses, it's erratic commute times every day. That's not good enough for a city like Dublin.
When I hear the discussion though, and I was at the oral hearing as well for On Board Planála on this issue, a lot of people, especially on the side of Dublin City Council, they talk about the impact on tourism first and foremost. Surely the city should be, you know, geared towards residents as the top priority.
Absolutely, yeah. It's about quality of life for the people who are living in Dublin. If it's good for tourists, that's great. That's an aspect. But you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people who live and have to make their way around the city every year. We've just done a big piece of work in Dublin Chamber, Great Dublin Survey. We interviewed 20,000 Dubliners and we asked them what they want for the city out to the future. We're trying to look out to the year 2050. The feedback that came back there was that people want quality of life. People want a city that's easy to get around. But fundamentally, they want a city that's planned well. That's not happening at the moment. We have all these proposals in the air. We see it again with Metrolink. It's another plan. We need to start building them. Dart Underground is another one. We've pushed that out to 2035. You know, that's a generation away. That's not good enough. I think of my own kids. My own kids are 2 and 6. What age are they going to be when these projects are eventually completed? I mean, you've got companies, people, top talent looking at Dublin as a place to come and work. Top businesses looking at Dublin as a place to come and locate. They arrive in Dublin Airport at the moment. Their option is a bus or a taxi. That's not good enough. They go to other competing cities abroad, Copenhagen, Amsterdam, Vienna, wherever it might be, London. You know, look at the options that they've got there. You know, proper planned transport systems that are backed up by cycling and walking. We all want more cycling and walking in Dublin. That's the future, but it's got to be backed up by a concrete public transport plan as well.
Tom Phillips, you want to come in that
just
point?
One of the points that we're raising at the oral hearing is that the Dublin City Council have portrayed this as a civic plaza with ancillary, quote-unquote, traffic management measures to facilitate it. But we're arguing that it's actually the other way around. It's actually a traffic plan with an ancillary urban space. And a lot of the debate is simplified down to pedestrians versus cars, which it isn't. And we've been pushing all the time, and I think the proof of Metrolink is proof of it, the need to stand back and do a proper plan for the whole of Dublin, as opposed to this incremental piece, and stop saying it's a simple equation between cars and pedestrians. It's not. It's way more than that. It's looking at all the modes of transport and how they move through. And if you just stand and look at what a role that College Green plays in terms of traffic every day between buses backed up, and some of the evidence at the hearing is saying there's 25,000 people get off every day, and 25,000 people get on every day at College Green. It plays such a huge role in public transport already. We're going to take it out and assume it's going to go somewhere else.
Kieran Coffey, you wanted to come in.
Yeah, one of the interesting problems that we have in Dublin is that we have a plethora of different agencies in charge of transportation. You've Transport Infrastructure Ireland, you've the National Transport Authority, you've not just Dublin City Council, but 3 other local authorities in Dublin. Dermot Lacey, my Labour Party colleague, Dermot Lacey, and I have looked at a list of the agencies. It runs to more than 50. And if we want to move a bus stop in the city, we can't do it as a council. We have to talk to Dublin Bus, have to talk to several other agencies. So it can be challenging to make the kind of changes that we need. But actually, I think Dublin can't stand still. And I think we need to give more space to buses, more space to trams, to the metro, to walking and cycling, not just because they're sustainable and environmentally friendly, but because economically speaking, they're the best use of road space, the limited road space that we have in the city centre. And that really is at the heart of the challenge. Of course, all the car parks need to be served, and they will all be served. They will all be open for business. But we are seeing a trend in business in city centres to have more people, more shoppers moving by public transport. And that's something we should encourage. We're also seeing a trend internationally towards tree-lined, quality, well-managed public spaces. We're moving towards that in Dublin, but I think we need to go further.
Manix, I do want to move off the issue of College Green at some point. I mean, we could dedicate the whole show to it. But just on the question I have for you now is, you know, we do want to see Dublin improve and to evolve as a city, that we can't completely depend on the car as our main way of getting around. Is it better now that we just do something and we take a jump and we take a leap at something which is quite revolutionary? I think everybody, whether you're for it or you're against it, will say that the plan is a bit radical. I mean, is it time that we actually do this? I mean, in standing against this, are you standing in the way of the progress of our capital city?
No. I want to see proper public transport. I want to see a change from the car to public transport. And I want to see a proper plan. We're not getting a proper plan. Mm. The Lewis is costing us hundreds of millions of euros. There's hundreds of buses, you know, pumping out fumes, diesel buses going up and down side streets. They didn't give us a plan. And at the end of the day, I know Ciarán Cuffier speaks about the greening of the streets. What about the ungreening of Parliament Street, which is going to be destroyed because there's going to be hundreds of buses again going up that particular street? So, well, on the one hand, you get a plaza. On the other hand, you get consequences elsewhere. And you need to come to this in the proper way. What I'll say this is that at this oral hearing on Bord Pleanála, there's myself and Ciarán Cuffier, two other councillors waltzed in for 5 minutes, and the rest of the 63 councillors are not interested. And until you get political interest from your local councillors who are the directors of Dublin City Council, not just in Finglas, but of overall city, unless you get them involved, you're going nowhere. This is all being driven by civil servants who are pushing one particular mode of transport down the road, which is the privatised version of public transport. It's not Dublin Bus, by the way. They're not providing the buses. They're providing the Lewis Cross City, which is a privatised mode of public transport.
Okay, we take your point, Manixon. But I want to talk there more generally just on the issue of private transport against public transport, because this is an issue which I've seen. I've done a series of reports on it recently in Galway and Cork as well, where the dependence there on the car is just completely choking up their cities. And it is a problem here in Dublin as well. We do seem to be very reliant on sitting alone in our cars almost on the way into work every day. Mm. Tom Phillips, I want to come to you on this one first. I mean, we've been very, very slow to adapt and to adopt new modes of transport, whether it is, you know, a reliable bus thing. Is it time that we separate it? Public transport from private transport, because if, you know, the main way of getting around by public transport in Cork or Galway is by the Bus Éireann bus, which shares the road with all of the cars along the Loch Atalia Road or whatever, we're going about this entirely the wrong way, aren't we?
Well, I suppose all the forms of transport have a role, and you can look at congestion charges, I suppose, as one way of looking at it. But I suppose the plain fact is that a lot of civil servants have private car spaces in Dublin City, and that's going to be very hard to change that mindset. Or the Dáil, the fact that I mean, Ciarán is a former TD, could probably park in, I think you get, for life, you can get parking in the Dáil, in theory. I'm not sure you don't do it, but you could get it. So we have.
It once in the last 7 years.
Okay, well, there you go. So, I mean, that's the mindset you've got across. You've got Dublin City Council has got very generous parking ratio in its own building. You've got other civic buildings have got a very generous car parking. So it's a very hard one to challenge. And if you look at benefit and kind as a way of that's probably one way of doing it. But you have to have, I think, a proper plan and to look at transport in all its machinations and not just think it's pedestrians or cars. There's so many other forms of transport that sit within that. And we quite ought to debate at the oral hearing as well about the fact that taxis are a form of public transport and yet they're being cut out of College Green for part of the day. So they're all parts of a bigger equation.
It seems to me, and I mean, this is an issue which is flaring up in Cork at the minute with regards to Patrick Street, and they're making that bus only between certain hours of the day as well, that these seem to be plaster solutions, just sticky plaster, and you're not really addressing the main issue. And Graeme, I mean, when you look at, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier on, about the reputation of Dublin as a city when you compare it to our main European competitors, if you want to call them that, Do we have a particularly bad reputation in this country for traffic? I mean, you look at international studies of Galway as well, which will say that it's the worst in the country and it's one of the top 100 worst in the world. It shouldn't really be this bad, should it?
No, if you look at some of the listings on quality of life, there was one out last week from Mercer, for example. Dublin's ranked 33rd or 34th. It's been there or thereabouts for the last number of years. You know, one of the things that is holding us back from these studies show it, is the transport system isn't good enough. It's not easy to get around. The other big issue is obviously housing, which is something we have to get to grips with as well. But the best cities in the world, you look at Vienna, I think they're number one in that Mercer ranking. They have the public transport system in place. They have good cycling facilities. They have good walking facilities. They're planned very well. They're planned well in advance. There's projects in Dublin we've been talking about for decades. You look at Dart Underground, for example. That was first mooted in the 1970s. We're talking about it this week as being maybe started in 2035. That's not good enough. That's madness. That's a project that Dublin is
crying
out for.
Are we our own worst enemies then? Because we're already seeing it here now with regards to Metrolink and people's houses being, you know, requisitioned for this. Are we our own worst enemies when it comes to planning and in terms of objections as well?
Kieran mentioned something there about the number of agencies involved, and that's a definite issue. The other issue is that we seem to have, whenever there's a change of government, projects drop off. I think what we maybe need in this country, especially for Dublin, is cross-party buy-in to projects. We all buy into a proper plan, a proper ambitious visionary plan for the greater Dublin area. If all parties buy into that, there's something similar in the UK, there's something that's working very well in New Zealand, you know, that would allow projects not to get derailed by an election process. Get away from this 4-year cycle of the politician. Let's put it back into the hands of something bigger, some kind of function that's going to oversee the delivery of such a plan.
I think that's a really good point. If you look at Copenhagen, they adopted a plan in 1947, the Finger Plan, and they're still working with that plan today. So they have plans that have a longevity of 70 years. Here within the planning process, we have 6-year plans. From a transport perspective, we do have a plan up to 2030, but it's a little bit scattered. And I think it would be brilliant if we had a really clear, simple plan for what we were going to invest in transport-wise over the next 20 or 30
years.
Okay,
but again, this is the point which Graham was making, is that we don't have cross-party support for any of these things. Whenever a government puts out a transport plan, you'll have the opposition will say, well, that's going to cost too much money, that's going to take too much time, or that project's just simply not going to work. Is it just that we're just too small-minded about this issue, that we're all just wanting to tear strips off each other at any given opportunity?
No, I think it's that Dublin doesn't have a strong voice. And if you look at cities of comparable size around Europe, they tend to have a directly elected mayor who makes the big decisions, and they rise and fall on the decisions that they've made. Here in Dublin, we have 4 mayors and they rotate every year. So within a 5-year period, you have 20 different mayors in the greater Dublin area. That doesn't help continuity. And I think the creation of a post of a directly elected mayor for Dublin might be one way of driving it forward. And if you look at London, where you had Ken Livingstone and then Boris Johnson and Sadiq Khan, they have very clear visions of the city, and they are given the space, particularly in transportation, to implement them.
Okay.
Again, I think that those kind of statements are grand, but in reality, they don't particularly work because there's a limited amount of powers in terms of. Direct elected mayor in London. One of the big things for us is we don't do responsibility. We have the resources. We've 5,500 people working in Dublin City Council, 63 councillors, €1 billion, and the economy of the city. And we don't get it right. We don't get the boardwalk right. We don't get social housing right. On top of all that, don't forget, in terms of water security, this city could fail tomorrow morning if we get the weather gone.
Right.
No water. So there's all of these issues. But what we don't actually do is have this plan. Now, you can turn around and say, well, it changes with government, it changes with this. That's the way it's all designed. What has worked to some extent here is the privatised public transport version. If that wasn't privatised, the chances of it happening wouldn't happen. On the other hand, Dublin Bus, which carries the vast amount of people, is being wound down and kind of undermined left, right and centre. The public, the Irish public, are being betrayed entirely by those that are elected to represent them. And then in terms of the civil servant, they're terrified of consequences. We sit all the time at the Dublin City Council Development Plan, the traffic plans, the environment plans. As I say, at the end of the day, there's only 2 councillors who are attending the oral hearing.
Well, I'm sure the other councils said they had other business to do at the same time.
No, they didn't really,
as well.
Because as far as they're concerned, by the way, and it's interesting, most of the councils in Dublin City Council don't see the city centre as part of their remit. They're much more interested in Finglas.
Okay, well, they're not here to defend themselves anyway, Mannix.
They're on record.
Tom Phillips, you've sat very patiently there awaiting your chance. Can I just ask you a very broad question? I mean, what do we actually do to make these things work? When it comes down to public transport, taking people away from their cars, what is our best hope? Because we don't seem to have many of them which don't tear up the daffodils while we're at it.
Well, I suppose our best hope is to do a proper transport plan for the city, as I've been saying for some time, that it looks at every form as opposed to this sequential. Do a concurrent plan, looks at everything, use the word holistic, and looks at everything, as opposed to dressing up a kind of an interim measure as a civic gesture, which I think colleagues agree.
Well, we always do, and even if you're looking at Transport 2040 and the issues with that, most of the solutions which you're looking at, for especially for cities outside of Dublin, involve let's build a new motorway or let's build a new link road. So, I mean, you're not really addressing the problem. You're just putting a plaster over it while these cities boom in size, whether it's Cork or Galway, and you're still keeping people in the car.
Well, I think I know Kieran had a different view, but I would think some of the motorways are particularly important. Links between Cork and Limerick are particularly important, for example. Mm-hmm. And other of these motorways do play a role, but they all play a role. You can't just discount one form of transport that's worked for a long time and say that's bad and something else is good. It's just not a simple equation. It's a very hard thing. And we need to look at a very strong plan and do it properly. And also, I think as well to say about the new metro that's been announced, is that that actually hasn't got approval yet. It's going to be go to Bourpinol in about 2 years' time. Mm-hmm. So, and they've got to look at all the alternatives. That's a hugely important part in planning, is to look at an examination of alternative designs, processes and locations. And a few years ago, we had the metro that was perceived to be the best scheme and the best solution. And now we've got a metro on a different alignment for part of its route. Mm-hmm. And this is deemed to be the best solution. So we need to stop kind of having stop-start views of traffic. We know what the population is growing at a particular rate. You can make assumptions based on census figures and the growth of the population is what we're going to need in the future. We've also to look at the issue of autonomous cars. We may not be driving cars for a while. Might be driving themselves. So there's all these things have to be factored in. And that's a very hard thing for the very good report in the National Planning Framework, where planners are trying to work out what's going to happen in 2040. If you think the last time that they did the National Spatial Strategy in 2002, the iPhone hadn't been invented, Brexit hadn't been mentioned, and all these things happen very quickly after plans come out.
And then suddenly we're still on the cars,
but a new set of circumstances come out. So it's very hard. You can accuse people all you like, but it's extremely hard because transport is a dynamic situation. And it's very easy for us to kind of take pot shots at individuals or whoever trying to do a hard job. It's an extremely difficult conundrum.
And we've touched on some of the issues, Ciarán Cuff, with regards to trying to coax people away from their cars. And when it comes down to it, one of the most visible ways, and it's one of the ones which our radio station tends to talk about quite a lot, is the issue of cycling. We need to talk about cycling a little bit differently, do we? Because we always do categorise and we pitch people against each other in terms of it's the cyclist versus the motorist.
I think we do. And I think, sadly, two of your colleagues, George Hook and Ivan Yates, have been quite vitriolic in their views on cycling. And I don't think that helps finding a common ground. Look, I think driving, the motorist is part of the transport equation. So is the cyclist. The cyclist is very vulnerable, as is the pedestrian. And I think we need to be very careful in ensuring that the safety of more vulnerable users is looked at. Sometimes cyclists don't make themselves any friends. They break the law, but so do motorists. Motorists break red lights. Motorists generally break the speed limit, as the Road Safety Authority tells us. And the problem there is that if a cyclist breaks a red light, it's generally the cyclist who will come off worse. But if a motorist breaks the law, it's generally the more vulnerable road user, the pedestrian, the child, the cyclist who suffers.
Yeah, there are no angels in this.
There's no angel. But I think the way forward in all of this is to give a generous amount of space to the pedestrian, but also to the cyclist and also to public transport. And for far too long, we've given the vast bulk of road space to the motorist. Interestingly, over the summer with Bachelor's Walk, where you've three lanes of traffic, there was a big row that we were giving two lanes to the bus user and reducing the car lanes down to one lane. But the buses are transporting 9,000 people per hour down Bachelor's Walk. The cars are only transporting 1,500. So we seem to have this gut feeling that we should give one lane to the bus and one lane to the car, and not realising that very often it is the bus that's doing the heavy lifting in getting people in and out of the city centre.
All right, Manic Flynn.
Yeah, again, the Lewis Cross City undermines the bus. We know this from the evidence that's there. In terms of cyclists, I mean, everybody wants to see, and I certainly want to see more and more cyclists. It's a question of attitude and behaviour. It's very hostile out there. If I walk out my door, there's two cyclists flying by, like making a go for it for the next kind of like, you know, set of lights on the footpath, and I roar at them and say, like, do you mind? You know, it's hostile. I mean, again, there is an attitude there, and it's certainly with motorists, it's certainly with you know, with truck drivers, but also with, as I say, a lot of cyclists, because there's a lot more cyclists out there now than you had in past years. And then there's this attitude. Don't forget, cycling has changed. There's Deliveroo. There's people out there cycling generally just, you know, to work. And then there's people on delivery bikes like Cyclone, like, you know, UPS. And the whole mode has completely changed. There isn't enough road space. But there's also great room for basically people's behaviour. And I see appalling behaviour out there all the time. And don't forget the pedestrian. You're trying to cross a road and there's people whizzing by you on bikes. There's a minute amount of footpaths. There's all sorts of competing traffic. But it goes back to the one thing again. It goes back to the plan. It goes back to that particular business. It goes back to cycle mode. So for instance, in terms of College Green, they get a segregated cycleway and then they'll come into where buses are doing a U-turn. That's very unsafe for cyclists, and that's going to cause tension, that's going to cause animosity, and it's going to cause hostility. And this is what we need to kind of address. We need to actually respect each other out there in the environment. We really need to respect each other on the roadway, and we need to respect each other on the footpath, because at the end of the day, if you don't have respect as citizens, well, then it's a hostile place.
But we're all guilty of it. I mean, if you go down the quays now and the 30 kilometre an hour speed limit is there, if you go down there at certain hours of the day, it's not 30 kilometres people are doing, they're going
absolutely
more than double.
And there's no enforcement, and we don't have the forces to be able to enforce that situation. But equally, they built the Lewis Cross City, but they didn't build park and ride in the outer suburbs. So there's huge problems out there with people dumping their cars in certain areas, jumping on the Lewis and coming into town. It's about that plan that Tom talks about. And I think at the end of the day, we're a great people. This is a fantastic city. It has great, great, great potential. Everybody wants to come here. And when they do come in, I speak to a lot of them, they think, what's going on? You've got lots of social issues. You've got a city centre that's pretty messy, I have to say. It's messy in terms of trying to get around. It is. You get an elderly person out there trying to navigate those roadways. Come on. Somebody with a
Zimmer. But then is that not why we should change
them? No, somebody with a pram even trying to actually negotiate the way up, say, Grattan Street from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock with all the various cars and buses parked. You know, we need to get it right. And I think that this conversation that we've had there, we realise, and we've all have a consensus that there's something really wrong. What's wrong is that we don't have this particular plan. And we need to have this plan. I want to see a plaza. I want to see great public transport. I want to see the city thriving. I want to see people come into the city and really enjoy themselves. Okay? We're going to always have our problems. There's always going to be people that break the law. But in general, I think that this is a chaotic city that's very much unmanaged.
Graham McQueen, I just want to ask you on this point. I mean, we talk about the difficulty of actually building any of these projects, about changing people's behaviours or rerouting buses or whatever. And then we point to places like Copenhagen, like Rotterdam, as Kieran Cuff was saying as well. The issue is that we're not Copenhagen, we're not Rotterdam. Have we left it too late to try and change how we get around?
I think if you're going to take that attitude, then we're not going to get anywhere as a city and not going to get anywhere as a country. If I took that attitude on my daily basis, I probably wouldn't get out of bed. I think if you look at the last 10 years in Dublin, I think if you look at transport, one of the big success stories in Dublin is cycling. And for the most part, it's been done in spite of the conditions and not because of the conditions. You cycle around Dublin, which I do not on a daily basis like some, but you know, 2-3 times a week. For one minute, you're in a really nice cycle lane. The next minute, you're in with the buses, you're in with the traffic. It's quite simply not safe. I think I wonder at times what the big plan is for cycling. We've got nice bits here and there, but I wonder how it's all going to link up. I think that goes back to the planning of the city question as a whole. But I think when you look, we've done a lot of work in the chamber at looking how we can get more people out of cars and into public transport and using the bike. One of the big issues we have as a business community is people have a car parking space in their place of work. So why would they walk past the car in their driveway in the morning?
Does it have to be then carrot and stick then? Do we have to, you know, start using some of these car parking spaces for other forms of transport, setting aside more for bicycles or more for public transport spots or whatever?
I think that's part of it. I think we certainly do need more bike spaces in the city centre. You take a walk through Trinity College today, walk through the main square, look at the number of bikes there. That's what the young people in Dublin, and I think in Ireland as a whole are wanting to do. They want to be like Copenhagen. They want to be like Rotterdam. And they're, as I say, they're doing it in spite of the conditions at the moment. So if we're going to be the city that we want to be in the future, we need to get to grips with that and we need to plan properly. We need to back that up with a proper public transport system, though. We still have far too many people coming from too far away to get into the city centre on a daily basis. That's going to change as well, though. We're seeing the makeup of Dublin city centre, the heart of the city, the type of people who are living here. You know, it's more commonly now, it's not traditional Irish people, it's Scottish people like me. You look at the people who cycle in the city centre, the biggest group of them is Spanish people and Brazilian people. That was shown in the census. Mm. We're a changing city and we've got to adapt to the type of people that are coming to live and work in the city centre.
Tom Phillips, you wanted to come in on this point.
I suppose part of the reason why I think we need a holistic transport plan is even in the discussion about College Green, I know you want to move away from it, but there was talk about where the bicycles are going to go and we were told, hang on guys, that's another plan. Yes. It's not actually part of this proposal. That's the concern we have, that there's all these bits that are done incrementally or sequentially. Where we're saying that you've got one, you're doing a college plaza one day, following a week you get an announcement of a metro link, and then they say announce at an oral hearing on College Street that there's going to be a cycling plan for the city done as well. So there's all these bits and pieces being done as opposed to doing it all together. And the other thing that's very important as well, that people don't think this is a case of somebody should do something about it sometime. A lot of the people that I would represent in terms of the major department stores and other big businesses have said that they will contribute and part fund this transport plan. So it's not a case of just dumping it on Dublin City Council or others. It's actually saying, why don't we get together, we'll fund it and have it done independently and have it done and look at all the bits and how the city is going to work together and how the pieces fit together.
Okay, we're running out of time here, guys, but just wanted to finish off with your final thoughts on Ciarán Cuff. Do you think that there is reason to be hopeful that we are going to address the situation?
Oh, I am hopeful. I think Dublin is doing well. It's recovering faster than the rest of the country from the recession. There are huge amounts of deprivation and disadvantage in Dublin. We need to provide affordable housing. We also need to invest in quality transportation. But the facts are interesting. The inner city of Dublin has almost doubled in population over the last 30 years. Mm. People are coming to Dublin. They want to be here. There's a buzz about the place. It's a vibrant city. I think it can compete with some of the greatest cities in Europe, but we do need to invest in public transport, in walking and cycling.
Manox Flynn, final words.
Yeah, Dublin City is a place of many realities for many different people, and lots of people enjoy it and people want to be in this particular place. I think what we need to do is own up when we get it wrong and then we can actually really get it right. For instance, the Lewis doesn't work because, as I say, the longer trains had to be stopped. The capacity now is basically chock-a-block.
Mm, so how are people,
people going to get out of their cars and get into a tram where there's no room? So we really have to sit down, admit and accept and adjust and get it right, because that's our role and that's our job and that's what we want to do. And as I said, it's not about one particular agency. What it's about is it's about the truth and being honest about what's going on out there.
All right. My thanks to today's production team of Stephen Jordan, Aidan McKelvey and Marianne Kennedy on sound. Have a great weekend and enjoy your day.
Between the Lines on News Talk.